more.
Wow.
I guess with that, Kathy, we should start the interview, right?
Yes, Paula.
There's going to be a Tomlin party of five soon. You're expecting a little one.
Tomlin party of five. That's right. My third baby girl's coming.
You may know her from Full House or Fuller House as DJ Tanner, Candace Cameron Bure.
How are you?
I'm really good.
Welcome back to the podcast. So my three kids are going to join me today alongside a very prominent counselor. Here's my daughter telling this counselor how she really feels about me.
She won't sugarcoat anything. She enjoys telling the truth, even if it's a bad truth. And I think she could find a way to say it in a nicer way, maybe. Or really? In a way that didn't make me feel bad.
So that's Caroline, my 13-year-old, telling Dr. Gary Chapman what I do that hurts her the most. I can count on my hands the number of books that I have read that have changed me. The Five Love Languages, it's one of those books. It was written by Dr. Chapman about 30 years ago. Over 15 million copies have been sold. You guys, there's a reason that it remains a bestseller to this day. So how many times have you thought about your loved one? If they really loved me, they'd know how much that hurt me. Or maybe you've thought, if they loved me, they'd do this.
You know, we've assumed that whatever makes me feel loved will make another person feel loved. And that's a false assumption.
If you want to connect better with your friends, your family, your children, your significant other, your spouse, this conversation, you don't want to miss it. I'm not exaggerating when I say that this book has been so transformative in all of my relationships. I've read it several times. In fact, some of my girlfriends recently did the Five Love Languages in our book club. So anyway, I invite my kids to the conversation. You're going to hear why Dr. Chapman felt called to write this book, what he thinks my kids' love languages are, and why that adage of treating others how you want to be treated is actually false.
There we go.
There we go.
There we go. Yeah.
You can see that I'm very casual today, Dr. Chapman.
Yeah, I'm with you now. All right.
I think we're all set. Okay, Dr. Chapman, it is such a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's good to be with you.
I have to tell you, your book, The Five Love Languages, I think it's been out almost 30 years now. You've sold 15 million copies. It continues to be a bestseller. I mean, I was looking on Amazon today. It's still up there. It's still a bestseller. And there's a reason. And I say there are probably three or four transformative books in my life. And this is one of them, The Five Love Languages. And I haven't just used it to figure out how to better interact with my spouse. I've used it to figure out how to better interact with my friends and my family, my sister, my mother, my father before he passed, and my children now. So for me, and I think for those that are listening, if they haven't read this book, this really is an essential book in your life. So as we jump into this interview, not just what are the love languages, but why are they essential? Why is uncovering love languages, why is this essential in any relationship?
You know, we've assumed that whatever makes me feel loved will make another person feel loved. And that's a false assumption. And so we typically, if we're expressing love to people, we're doing what we think people ought to do when they're expressing love. But the reality is that we have different ideas on what it means to be loved. And emotionally, and we're talking right now about the emotional need to feel loved, which I believe is one of the deepest emotional needs we have as humans, is the need to feel loved by the significant people in our lives. And so if we don't learn what I'm calling their love language, that is what makes them feel loved most deeply, we can be loving them in one way, but right, they're not getting it. They're not feeling loved. I remember the husband said, you know, he said, I wash dishes, I vacuum floors, I wash the car, I mow the grass, I help her with the laundry. And she says she doesn't feel loved.
Right.
He said, I don't get it, you know. So he was sincere. He was loving her in his way. But her love language, she said to me in the course of the conversation, she said, Dr. Chapman, he's right. He's always doing things. And I appreciate that. But she said, we don't ever talk. We don't ever have any sit down talk. You know, her language was quality time.
Quality conversation.
And she didn't get it. So she wasn't feeling loved, even though in his mind, he was loving her. that's why the book just continues to sell more every year than it did the year before, because once people read it and it helps them, they want their brother and his wife to have it, and their sister and her husband.
Yeah. Well, there's that adage of treat people how you want to be treated, but not really. Like, treat people how they want to be treated, right? Isn't that, we should kind of turn it around a little bit.
That's the key, absolutely. Because if you simply treat them the way you wish they'd treat you, they may not feel loved, and you will not understand why, because in your mind, you are loving them.
Yeah.
And this is true with children as well. Parents, I say, the question is not, do you love your children? By nature, we love our children. The question is, do your children feel loved? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're sincerely loving them, but some of our kids don't feel it because we've never learned, and we're not giving them regular doses of their love language.
I'm going to bring my kids into the conversation a little bit later. Before we go any further, the five love languages are quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, physical touch, and gift giving. Those are the five. How did you come up with those five? Why those five?
I went through several years of my notes that I made when I was counseling people and just read them and asked myself, when someone said in my office, I feel like my spouse doesn't love me, what were they complaining about? What were they wanting? And the answer fell into five categories. Mm-hmm. I later called them the five love languages. And I wasn't dogmatic to say there's only five, but now that, as you said, the book's been out now 29 years or so, I haven't come up with what I think is a sixth love language. Now, one guy did tell me the sixth love language is chocolate. And I said, well, if they bought it, it's a gift. If they made it, it's an act of service. So
there you go. You've got an answer for everything. But I have to say, this hasn't just been transformative in the relationship with my husband, who's, by the way, his motto is touch me and tell me how great I am. He's physical touch and words of affirmation.
Yeah.
It has helped exponentially in my friendships, in my relationship with my father who has passed. But I remember my dad used to drive me crazy because I was like, why is he always building himself up? Why does he always have to talk about the great things that he's done? And then I read the book and I'm like, oh my gosh, he needs words of affirmation because no one else is affirming him. So he has to hear it from himself. Yeah. So I started to just sew into that and say, Dad, that was really great what you just did there. His face would light up. It was like I was filling his love tank like I never had before. I'm going to bring my kids into the conversation in a little bit because I want you to help me uncover what their love languages are. And I think I know what they are, Dr. Chapman. And for those listening, I have a sealed envelope. But before we even went into this conversation, I've read the five love languages. I've read the five love languages of children, but I've written down what I think my kids' love languages are. But I want you to take us through an exercise for those listening to help us ask the right questions to discern the love languages of our children, of our friends, and of our family. So when I bring my kids into the conversation, we're going to see if I'm right or if I'm wrong. The sealed envelope with what I think they are. So let's just start right there. Let's pick it up right there. What questions do we need to be asking our spouses, our significant others, our friends, and our children to uncover? Because there have to be a couple of basic questions that we can ask, correct?
Well, I would say even before the question is to observe their behavior. But by which I mean, how do they typically respond to other people? For example, you can discover a child's love language by the time they're 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
By just observing their behavior. They're doing to you what they wish you would do to them. Mm. My son, when he was 4 years old, when I would come home from work, he would run to the door, grab my legs, and climb on me. He's touching me because he wants to be touched. Our daughter never did that.
Yeah.
At that age, she would say, Daddy, come into my room. I want to show you something. She wanted quality time. She wanted my undivided attention. Uh-huh. So I think that's the first thing, even without asking questions, to just observe their behavior. And you will see that children respond differently to you and to your husband or to even to siblings.
Okay.
And in adults, the same thing is true. People who are always going around giving people high fives and patting them on the back, physical touch is probably their language, If they're always giving people words of affirmation, encouragement, then that's probably their language. So if you just observe the behavior of children and adults, that's a big clue. But here's another question to ask yourself is, what do they complain about most often?
Okay.
Now, you're not asking the child this necessarily, though you can, but you pretty much know, as a parent, what the child complains about. In fact, a mother said to me just recently, she said, Dr. Chapman, my six-year-old son said to me, we don't ever go to the park anymore since the baby came. His language was quality time.
Yeah.
He and his mother used to go to the park together. He had her undivided attention. Now the baby's here. He's not getting it. And he's complaining about it.
Yeah.
What do they complain about most often? And then what do they request most often?
Okay.
What do they request? If they're saying, Mommy, can you play with me? They're asking you for quality time. You know, if there's my daughter, as she got older, would say, Dad, can we take a walk after dinner? She was asking me for quality time.
Yeah.
And my son would never walk with me. He said, walking's dumb. You're not going anywhere. If you're going somewhere, drive a car. You know? He would say, Dad, can we play basketball? Because the way we played basketball in the backyard, it was physical.
So observe their behavior, find out what they're complaining about, number two. And then third, what are they requesting? That's a pretty simple formula.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now here's one if you're going to talk to the child themselves, and particularly if you're talking to them one at a time, you might say, what would make me a better mama?
Oh, that's good. Hold on one second. Nice. What would make me a better mama is shutting the door to the studio so you can't hear my kids in the background. Oh, hey, guys, we're not ready for you. Okay? Before we got interrupted by the kids.
You can never predict what's going to happen with children.
Never predict what's going to happen with children. So you were saying, rewind it a little bit. You said, what could make me a better mama? Can you tee that up a little bit?
Yeah, I think one of the questions you can ask a child, in particular, they'll answer it more likely if it's just one-on-one, but what can make me a better mama? Or if it's the dad, what can make me a better dad? Now, if they are together, if you have two or three children, they're together, and you just say that to all of them, they'll probably help each other. You know, one of them will say, well, I think that's what I think. And if you listen to their answers, their answers are probably going to give you a clue as to what their love language is.
Okay. Yeah. So you have a primary love language and then you have a secondary love language, correct? So you can have more than one.
Yeah. Number one and number two can often be very, very close. And I just call those people bilingual. You know, you speak two languages or you receive two languages. But the other three will fall in line under that and will not be nearly as important. Now, this doesn't mean that we should not speak all five to children because you want to give heavy doses of their primary and their secondary if it's close. But you want to sprinkle in the other four because we'd like for the children to learn, you know, there are different ways to express love. And we'd like for them to learn how to receive love and give love in all five languages. Okay. That's the healthiest adult. But most of us did not receive all five growing up. So we come to adulthood and we don't know how to speak words of affirmation because we never got words of affirmation growing up.
Yeah.
But the good news is you can learn these even as an adult, even if you didn't get them as a child. But the key is heavy doses of the primary and then sprinkle in the other four.
So you can have more than one. You can be bilingual, but do they ever change throughout your life? You say that we really can uncover our primary and secondary love languages by the time we're 4 years old. Correct?
Yeah.
But do they change throughout our life?
I think they tend to stay with us for a lifetime, like many other personality traits. But having said that, I think there are perhaps seasons of life in which another love language may jump to the top. For example, a mother who has two preschool children, acts of service may not be her primary language. It may be something else. But during those years, it may well jump to the top, because she's overwhelmed with taking care of, you know, two preschool children. So I think there are situations in life or seasons in life in which another language may jump to the top. But once that season is over, the other one, you know, they go back to their primary love language.
I'm going to bring my kids in here. And Caroline's 13, JJ is 11, and Landon is 7.
Okay, I'm going to start with Caroline, okay? Caroline, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 means really, really good, and 1 means really, really low, okay? What number would you give? How much love do you feel coming from your mother, 1 to 10?
Oh, gosh.
Probably an 8.
Okay, and why? Why do you say that?
Well, she likes to, we spend a lot of time together, always speaking life into me and being kind.
Okay, same question for you, JJ. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much love do you feel coming from your mother?
And let me say this. If you give me a 2, that's okay. I need to know this.
Probably a 7.
Okay, and why do you say that?
Well, because we don't really spend much time together. Like, she doesn't really take me to, like, lunch or anything. Or, like, I got into, like, cards, and we were trying to... I asked if we could go last week, and she didn't take me because... But then she rescheduled it, so now I feel a bit happier. But, yeah, we just don't really spend much, like, time together as I want to.
Okay.
Interesting.
So, Landon, the same question to you. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 means really, really feel loved. 1 means I don't feel loved much at all. How much love do you feel coming from your mother?
Probably 10.
Okay, and why?
Because... She always, a lot, she lets me sleep in her bedroom, and she always, and we always spend time together a lot. She takes me to places that I want to go to.
Okay. Now, Caroline, let's do the same thing, only with your father. On a scale of 0 to 10, how much love do you feel coming from your father?
Probably an 8 as well.
Yeah. Okay, and why?
Well, with my dad, I just like being with him. Like, we don't have to talk a lot, but he'll take me to my volleyball practices and my conditioning, and he'll just spend time with me in the car. And a lot of times, he used to give me foot rubs a lot, mm-hmm. and... He would do that a lot, so, yeah.
Okay. How about you, JJ?
Get closer, JJ.
Probably a 7.5.
Okay, and why?
Because he's usually always in his office doing, like, his work calls, because since his COVID thing, he's gone online, and he has to do a bunch of work in his office. Mm-hmm. But he does coach my basketball team. I would have gave it like a 6.5, but since he coaches my basketball team and he always comes to my practices and coaches me, that's why mm-hmm. I would say like a 7.5.
Okay. Okay. And how about you, Landon?
What about your dad?
Your dad.
Probably the same thing as last time.
And why?
A 10?
Yeah. He spends a lot of time with me, and he tries to keep me safe when... In like dangerous places and
okay.
not really dangerous places.
What do you mean he tries to keep you safe from dangerous places?
Like in the car, I need to wear my whatever it's called.
Car seat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Car seat keeps you
okay.
safe.
You
always strap it like to the okay. bottom
of
the seats.
Yeah. Now let's ask you one more question. And we'll start back with you, Caroline. What could your mother do that would make her a better mother?
Well, she definitely likes to tell the truth. She won't sugarcoat anything. She enjoys telling the truth, even if it's a bad truth. And I think she could find a way to say it in a nicer way, maybe, or okay. in a way that didn't make me feel bad.
Okay. All right. Okay, JJ.
Sit up, JJ, honey.
What is one thing your mother could do to be even a better mother?
Well, she's usually always in our office all the time. I would like her to, like, to take me to, like, a special lunch, just, like, me and her. Or she could take me to, like, a maybe a sport card shop, somewhere like that. Somewhere like okay. that I want to go.
Okay. So, Landon, what could your mother do that would make her an even better mother?
If I asked to, like, go somewhere, she would say yes every single time.
Every single time. Okay. Mom, I feel a little Mexico. Manipulation going on here, Dr. Chapman.
Okay. Take me to Mexico.
Like a okay. basketball okay. Guys, card place.
Don't talk over one another.
Like a basketball okay. card place.
Okay. So now, there's a sense in which all your children appreciate quality time. That was pretty obvious. They all appreciate quality time. I'm guessing Caroline's is quality time and words of affirmation.
Okay.
I'm guessing that JJ's is quality time for sure. I mean, basically. And Landon, I mean, they all seem like quality time to me. Yeah, Mom.
Physical touch. Now, let me ask one thing, though, okay?
Yeah.
So, let me ask you, JJ, what do I do that hurt you the most? What do I do or say that hurt you the most?
When you tell me to do things that I don't want to do.
What about if I say something mean to you, though? If I diminish you and belittle you, you don't like that. That hurts you a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'll come up with pretty good roasts in my head.
Yeah, you'll come tell up with pretty good roasts. Okay, yeah. Landon, what? Now, tell me what hurts you the most. If I don't spend time with you, if I don't give you hugs, if I don't say nice things about you, if I don't buy you nice gifts, or if I don't do nice things for you. Like, what hurts you the most? If I don't what?
When I want to, like, do something, sometimes you, like, say no, and you always say, like, later, I'll plan it sometime, and you never do it.
Oh, like when you ask me to do stuff with you, you're like, Mom, like, come watch me play basketball, and I don't do it,
like,
right?
Mom, you say we can go to that card shop sometime, and we didn't go.
Okay. All right, Caroline, what hurts you the most? How can I hurt you the most?
Probably when you use your words to diminish me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so I think this is what, no, I had it in an envelope. Thank you, Dr. Chapman. This is what I thought. I'm opening the envelope. Before we went into this, this is what I thought my kids' love languages were. I thought Caroline's primary language was quality time, and her second was physical touch. I thought JJ's primary love language was were words of affirmation, and then physical touch. And I think Landon's primary love language is quality time, and then physical touch. So it looks like I might be off with JJ.
Yes.
I think another thing I would suggest to your listeners is go to the website, 5lovelanguages.com. And, of course, there's a quiz there. We know for married couples. There's one for singles. There's one for teenagers. And then there's questions there that you can ask your child. And then, as I said earlier, observe their behavior. So if they might take advantage of that information, all that's free at the website, as well as observing their behavior, chances are you pretty well figure it out.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys want to tell Dr. Chapman?
Thank you.
Well, good to meet you guys.
Do you guys have any idea what mommy's love languages are?
Acts of service. Definitely, that's one of them.
And what else?
Physical touch or words of affirmation? Mm-hmm.
Physical touch. Because I love to kiss you guys and give you hugs, right? Right, Lando? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, Caroline? Okay, I love you guys.
Love you.
Okay, thank you. Well, I was really off with JJ. He just said, yeah. I wouldn't have ever thought quality time was one of his love languages. I would have thought it was words of affirmation because the way that he hurts his brother and his sister is by diminishing them, calling them mean things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know, I guess, but those were really great questions. Thank you for
that. It was pretty obvious that quality time was high.
I'm physical touch and acts of service, and then probably words of affirmation, and then quality time and gift giving. Yeah. So quality time is not important to me. And so I am treating them in some respects how I want to be treated instead of how they want to be treated. So that's really good. That was really good. So Dr. Chapman, Gary, I feel like we're on a first name basis now. I've officially hired you as my counselor. How can people keep in touch with you?
Now, they can go to 5lovelanguages.com. As I said, there's quizzes there that'll help you on all of these. There's also little blurbs on all of my books. They can get my emails if they want to on a regular basis. And you can also find out where I'm going to be doing marriage seminars across the country. Now that the country's opening up again,
great.
In the fall, I'll be doing some marriage seminars in various places around the country. So,
awesome. Yeah. What are your other projects that you're working on right now? How can people?
Well, I'm going to release one soon called Things I Wish I'd Known Before My Children Became Teenagers.
Oh, God bless. Thank you, please. Can I get an advanced copy of that? Because we're 13 and then a tween, 11 and then 7. So, What are some
it's coming up.
What are some of the things you wish you'd known before your kids were teenagers?
I wish I'd known that they're developing rational thought. I say developing, they're not there yet.
Yep.
But this is why they start saying in the teenage years, that's not right, mommy. That's not right. And they start giving you what we say, arguments.
They're bossy. Like Caroline, I was just talking about this with my sister, who also has a 13-year-old daughter. They're always telling us what to do. And I didn't know if that was birth order because they're both the oldest. Mm-hmm. But maybe you're right. It's because they're developing rational thoughts.
Yeah, they're beginning to think, you know, and that's healthy. We want them to become logical.
Right.
But they will question things that they never questioned before, you know. And so the parents need to learn to dialogue rather than monologue.
Okay.
Rather than say, you do this, you know, if they're questioning it, you ask questions about why they're saying what they're saying. If they're angry, you listen to them. You don't say, don't be angry. You listen to them to find out why they're angry. And then learn how to process anger by talking rather than yelling or pushing or, you know, other things.
Right, so, right. Yeah. Okay, don't reveal anything else about that book. We want it to be just a little teaser to whet people's appetite. It's called Things I Wish I Would Have Known About My Kid Before They Became a Teenager.
Yeah, and I don't know when it's coming out, but it's being processed. It's about to be published, so I don't remember, but within 2 or 3 months, it should be out. They can all see right. it at the website.
Awesome. Well, Gary, Dr. Chapman, it's been a pleasure. And thank you for this book, which, again, has been transformative in my life. It really, really has. If your loved ones don't feel loved, then nothing else matters. Nothing else matters.
Yeah, and everything else is more difficult.
Much more difficult. I don't know about you. I was blown away by this conversation. The first thing that I did after recording the episode was pull my son, JJ, aside. I apologize that I'd been missing it. I hadn't been filling his bucket. We have been having some issues with JJ, and it's no wonder. I wasn't speaking his primary love language of quality time. I'd totally been ignoring those requests of his to spend some time with him, to take him to a sports card shop. And it's hard for me because quality time is not important to me at all. I'm all about physical touch and acts of service, so that's how I tend to communicate my love to my kids and my loved ones. But as Dr. Chapman said, if they don't feel loved, it doesn't matter. He told us 3 ways that we can figure out the love language of our loved ones. He said, 1, observe their behavior. They're doing to you what they wish you would do to them. So observe behavior of children and adults. 2, what are they complaining about the most? As he said, that mother saying to him that the 6-year-old son said, Mom, we don't ever go to the park anymore since the baby came. His was quality time. That's what he was complaining about the most. And 3, what are they requesting the most? Maybe it's, can you play with me? Can we go out on a date? So again, observe behavior. What are they complaining about the most? And what are they requesting the most? I hope you got a lot out of this episode. I know I did. Just let me know your takeaway on my Instagram page. And a reminder, the Called Out Book Club, we're kicking off September 1st. I'm hosting. It's free. Everyone is welcome. You can get all the details on my website at paulaferrisofficial.com. So next week, taking the path of most resistance. She's a new friend, but already a close one. Can't wait for you to hear Jenny Allen's story. I'm Paula Ferris, and it is an honor to do this life with you. I'll see you next week.